And now you know what to be outraged about. Now, I feel good about this because I was outraged, and I'm never outraged, and I tell you not to be outraged, but I was for once. Not that the 112-pound lady got a Peloton bike for Christmas so she could become, or she was 116 before. That did not outrage me at all, because guess what, America? That's your fault. Because had she been someone who, let's say, needed an exercise bike, oh my goodness, they would have burned the company down. So I can imagine that meeting where they're like, how can we get a person who absolutely doesn't need an exercise bike, because then no one will be offended, and everyone was offended about that. But I'm not offended at that. I'm not even offended at the husband, because to me, even though he's been made out to be a monster, I would like you to think, and maybe this is just the patriarchy talking, but just think about this. Like, the husband is a guy who buys his wife a $2,200 gift that she wants. And if you notice, the next Christmas, this is the part that's the hardest to believe, they're not opening presents. They're watching a year-long retrospective of her on her exercise bike and seem to be happy about it. So I'm not even mad at him. What I am sort of mad about, or I was at least mad about, is that there is a $2,200 exercise bike. And here's the good news about it. You have to pay $39 a month for it to encourage you to ride it. That's the Peloton bike. Like, seriously, what it is it's a bike, and you basically pay for the service so that you can take the classes. There's on-demand classes, and then there's also streaming classes, and then you get to compete with other riders because it's networked in into your Wi-Fi, and you get to compete with other riders, and once in a while you get a shout out from the instructor who's 1,000 miles away, like, good job, way to go, you're killing it. And so basically it's a $2,200 exercise bike that encourages you to ride it. America is pretty good. I have to say, like, we have some problems, but life seems to be pretty good because that thing's selling. I did some research. They've sold over 1 million of them. I mean, so there's a lot of people that buy it. So here's the thing, though. I was upset. I was like, oh, that's how can this be? And then I had an epiphany, which is lucky. It's lucky because this whole series has been called Epiphany, and so far I haven't had one. So I was like, good, I'm having an epiphany, and here's what I realized about the Peloton and why I was completely wrong about Peloton. Because here, I want you to think about this. Peloton is homeschooling for spin class, and I love homeschooling, so I don't think they would like me to say that. They probably wouldn't be happy. I don't think that would help their ads, like the people who buy it. But think about it. Like, I'm all for you being able to learn at home at your own pace, choose your own instructor, choose the material that you study, and that's what a Peloton bike is. It's a bunch of homeschoolers on expensive exercise bikes. So I was like, you know what? I think I'm for this. And then I had a second epiphany, and I was super excited. I was like, this is so great. Here's another reason to be happy about this and not mad about this like everyone else. I don't think anyone in America gets, sort of too much encouragement or too much cardio. I think this is a good thing. I mean, I know I need some cardio. I had like 42 cups of that hot chocolate, and I'm kind of buzzing right now, I'll tell you. And actually, thank you, Bill, for telling me, going, dude, you have chocolate all over your face. So I did. I went in the restroom, like, wiped my face down. Apparently, I, like, dunked my mouth in it at some point. I don't know what happened. I didn't. You guys drank that. It was too hot. But I had this epiphany, or a couple of epiphany. I was like, you know what? I think I can get behind the whole Peloton phenomena. I think it's a good thing. In fact, if you think about it, like, if, people are willing to pay that much money for an exercise bike because someone will show up on the screen, because that's the thing. It's like we all have apps and we all have exercise equipment, but the problem is not, we know what to do, and it's not that even expensive to get it. It's just motivating yourself to do it. So Peloton found a way to motivate people to actually use an exercise bike instead of just hanging clothing on it in your bedroom. And so I was thinking about, like, the problem is not that. I think we need more things like that. Like, I hope Peloton makes more products. I know they came out with a $4,000 treadmill. You're welcome. That can be your Christmas gift next year. But I have a new idea, and I'm going to throw this out there. This is free of charge. I don't even care if they take it from me. We need... Now, here's something I think ladies would buy. I'm just speaking for ladies because I know. I think a Peloton smart toilet would be great. Now, here's why. If you have men, boys, husbands, I don't know, cousins in your life, wouldn't it be great if, like, when you open the lid, like, this dude popped up and was like, hey, man, you got to flush? Did you wash your hands, really? You didn't just run in the water? And then, like, put that lid back down. I think this is a winner. I think Peloton should make more things. But here's why I'm talking to you about it, I swear. You can keep that idea. If you want to do that, I think it would work. But what makes a great gift? Because I was thinking about, like, on one hand, somebody got a $2,200 piece of exercise equipment for Christmas and apparently loved it. Loved it so much they said it changed their lives. Yet other people thought it was terrible. You know, so what is it that makes a great gift? How can you have a great gift? Like how can there be a great gift that someone loves? And that lady, that she's known now as the Peloton wife. Isn't that great? And I know that Ryan Reynolds made another commercial about her, but I'm not going to show it because it's divorce and drinking. But anyway, you can check that out if you're an adult. But it's like, here's the thing about it. Like, this lady, the Peloton wife in there, she's super happy. She said it changed her life. She can't believe how wonderful this gift was. And yet it seems to make a whole lot of other people angry, right? So what is it that makes a great gift? Because here's the thing about gifts. I can think a gift is a great gift. Like in our house, if you give my son or I like meat or ammo, we're happy. Like that's a good gift for us. It's a weird Christmas, but it's a good gift. Give us a meat stick and some ammo, we're happy. But probably won't work for my wife or daughter. And here's the thing, for all of us, there are sort of things that some of us like and some of us hate. Like here's the, I'll use the kids because they'll actually be honest. How many kids are hoping to get toys for Christmas? You can yell yay. Okay, finally an honest kid. And we experimented this with last year. Who would like to get just gift cards? That's an older kid. Yeah, so somebody like, what about clothes? Is there anybody be super happy to get clothes? It depends on who the clothes are from, right? Like if it's something you picked out, maybe. If it's just like, you know, your grandma who gets you the bunny suit, like Christmas Story, probably not. But here's the thing, like all of those are good gifts. Toys are good gifts. Gift cards are good gifts. Some people are just like, give me cash. Give me cash. And if you give them cash, they're super excited. And if you give that someone else cash, they're like, what, you didn't shop? I think there's a Seinfeld episode about that. They say, like, what, you didn't buy me a gift? It's like, this is what you buy a gift with. This is not a gift. And other people be super happy. So the thing about it is that we find in life, and I think people are just like they were in Bible times, that not everyone agrees on what makes a good gift. And that's super important in the story that we've been talking about. This Christmas story, this story of the nativity, this story of Jesus, where the entire Christmas story started from. Because in Luke 2, the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, and lying in a manger. And so this thing that you've seen on the lawn at the church or underneath the Christmas tree, this was the start of the Christmas story. And the interesting thing is that somehow the angel said that this was good news for all people. Not just shepherds, the shepherds showed up, not just Mary, not just Joseph, not just church people, not just even people who believed in the Jewish religion, but somehow the angel said that this would be good news and bring great joy for all people. Like somehow the angel said to the shepherds that this one gift would make everybody happy. And so I was thinking about that this week, like, is that what happened? Is that what happened? And if you look at Mary's story, she said, and this is Mary talking about when she found out that she was pregnant with Jesus, when an angel came to Mary and said, you haven't been with a man, but you are going to have a baby before you're married, and you're going to have some explaining to do with Joseph, but guess what? He's going to be the Savior, and he's going to save all of the people from their sins. And when we say sins, we don't just mean breaking rules. Because you and I, we think about like sins as like, oh, those are the rules, and I broke the rules. And so we're saved from that. It seems sort of like, you know, getting forgiven of a bad grade, but that's not what this story is talking about. Sins are simply things that we do that harm us because they go against sort of the master plan for humanity. And over time, they bring death. And that's why every one of us on this planet, none of us get off alive, because over time we sin. And no one makes it off alive because we've all done these things and we just can't get away from them. Even if we decided like this year for my New Year's resolution, I'm never going to sin again. I'll never, ever sin again. The problem is we've sinned so many times in the past that we still have to deal with the results of those sins. And so the story of Jesus is the story of being rescued, not just from the sins of the past, but the sins of the present and the future. And so Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done all things for me. Holy is his name. So I would have to say, on one hand, Mary seemed pretty happy with the news of Jesus. Mary seemed like, oh, well, this is a good gift. But I was thinking, like, we've been using a lot of stained glass pictures, which is kind of funny if you think about it. Like, stained glass was sort of the multimedia of the Middle Ages. Like, they put stained glass up so people could picture what was happening in Scripture. And now everyone has screens, so we put stained glass on our big screen in HD, and it's sort of ironic. But I think this picture actually might work better with Mary. Because if you look at Mary's story, just like the Peloton wife in that commercial looks sort of nervous and scared, and that's probably what made people think she was being held at knife point as she got the gift. I don't know. Like, they're like, she's so put upon, she's so abused, like, she got a $2,200 exercise bike. But anyway, like, I think that might be a good picture of Mary, like, scared to death and like, oh, I don't know, but yet saying, for God has been mindful of me, a humble servant. And what about Joseph? I was thinking, like, what does it bring? What did Jesus bring to Joseph? All we find about Joseph is sort of the forgotten man in all the stories. All we find about Joseph, it says, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. So he married Mary, even though she was pregnant, but he did not consummate their marriage until he gave birth to their son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And the kids are in here, but it spoiled the honeymoon. That's what Joseph experienced. But I would still say, because Joseph was a godly man, that probably Joseph thought, yeah, this is a good gift. This whole Savior that we've been waiting for our whole life is a good gift. And then I was like, well, what about the shepherds? And I want to read this to you, and I love maybe this part of the Christmas story better than anything else, just because of the way when you read this and an angel is speaking to shepherds, like the most blue-collar guys on the planet, like guys out that sleep outside at night with the sheep, like the guy who sleep outside with the sheep, and like the guys who probably weren't even admitted into the temple or polite society because they were considered unclean, an angel comes to them and said these words, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace to those with whom his favor rests." And when the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had told them. And you know what? They weren't the only people That's one thing about the Christmas story that's so interesting is that all different types of people saw Jesus as a baby, not as a savior. You know, we keep thinking because we look backwards and go, oh yeah, that's Jesus. That's Jesus who raised people from the dead. That's Jesus who healed people. That's Jesus who legends were told about. That's Jesus that his followers said he rose from the dead after 3 days when they killed him. I mean, Jesus was like a superhero, but what they saw was a baby. And yet, a man named Simeon said this. Simeon was an old man who just prayed in the temple and waited, sort of like he felt like God had told him that he would meet the Messiah before he died. And it says there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon who was righteous and devout. And he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which is prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the revelation of the Gentiles and a glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Here's a guy, Simeon. Imagine they go to the temple with baby Jesus to sacrifice, to, you know, celebrate that he's been born, as was the custom. And this guy says, "I've been waiting my whole life to see this. I can die now that I've met this baby." And there was another lady there at the same time. She was a prophetess. All she did was stay in the temple and pray. And yet when she came and met Jesus, this gift, so there was a prophet Anna, the daughter of Peniel, tribe of Asher. She was very old. And she had lived with her husband just 7 years after her marriage and then was a widow until she was 84. And 84 was very old in those times. And she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying, coming up to them at that moment. And she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. See, Anna said she waited her whole life to meet Jesus. There was something about Jesus. And then we've been talking about these guys all month. And I've been so interested to kind of learn about them, to kind of understand that they were amazing. The fact that they could visit town and they get to go straight to the palace. They were probably some of the smartest, most, you know, wealthy, most notoriously intelligent, notorious intelligentsia of that time. They were just amazing people, and yet they showed up with the blue-collar workers of the field, with the prophets, with the old man who had sort of waited his whole life to meet Jesus, and they said the same thing. The top minds of the day came into town, and they said, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them. And it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in the dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. They also, all of them said, "This is the greatest gift. This is the best gift that's ever happened." In fact, they worshipped this baby, not a leader, not a, you know, teacher, not a rabbi, not a revolutionary, not the guy who rose from the dead, just a baby. They said, "This is the greatest gift that has ever happened." And so it seems pretty universal, other than potentially Joseph not super thrilled, but he got more thrilled later. Like, that everyone sort of thought, oh, this is the perfect gift. Everyone sort of agreed. And I was going to tell you that this morning, and then I realized, like, oh, I really can't. Even though the angel said it would bring great joy to all people, there was a guy named Herod. And if you notice this stained glass, it was funny because Kate said when she first looked at it, she's doing the slides, and what a great job she's done on slides this month. This is another stained glass from Germany. I believe it's Our Lady of Charlemagne, a large cathedral there. It's so sad because it's like she said, "I thought the guy was holding a potato." And I was like, yep, that's what a lot of stained glass has. The guy with the baked potato going, "This is a great baked, loaded baked." It's a baby head. I mean, this is terrifying. And this is in the church in the pictures of the nativity. And it's called the Slaughter of the Innocent, because when Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave order to kill all the boys in Bethlehem. and in its vicinity who were 10 years old and under in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, and Rachel is weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. See, what is it that makes a great gift? Because we're told by the angel that this is a gift, the gift of Jesus, the gift of a Messiah, the gift of a Savior, would bring great joy to everyone, but obviously not everyone agreed, right? Herod certainly didn't agree. Herod thought it spoiled his plans. And if you think about it, guys, not to just be dark, but all over the world this morning, hundreds of millions of people are celebrating that birth still. They're still saying, this is the greatest gift. This is the gift that we've been waiting for. But not everyone agrees, right? Like, not everyone is excited that Jesus came or even believes that Jesus came. And not everyone's excited that we say Merry Christmas, or not everyone's excited that we celebrate Christmas. And somewhere right now, someone's paying probably the ultimate price for saying that they're a follower of Christ. And I was thinking about that. I was like, man, isn't it interesting that I don't think people have changed at all? I don't think people have changed at all, because what makes a great gift is not what everybody thinks about it. Because if you think about it, it's still a great gift, even if everyone doesn't agree. Now, I'd like to buy you all Peloton bikes. I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be great? Because then we would be like the fittest church in North York or something. Like, we could probably like go to marathons and just put on Action Church shirts and just kick some butt. It would be amazing. Like, if we just all had a Peloton bike, wouldn't it be great? Like, but I was thinking about that. Like, if I could buy, and we don't have the budget for all the Peloton bikes we would need, but if I could buy everyone a Peloton bike this morning, is there anybody who'd be super pumped to get a Peloton bike? Oh, there's somebody. There's somebody super pumped back there. But I don't think you're going to get one. But anyway, like, I was thinking, like, that would just be too cruel. But like, if we could, let's say I could buy everyone a Peloton bike. If I were Oprah, just imagine that. Imagine me as Oprah. It could happen. And I'm like, you get a Peloton, and you get a Peloton, and you get a Peloton. Look under your seats. You all get Pelotons. You know what? Somebody wouldn't be happy about it. Somebody would be questioning, like, whether we should have spent all that money on Pelotons, and you'd be right. But somebody would be tweeting that out, and the news would come out and go, can you believe this church? So there would be people angry about it, right? And then let's be honest. Some of you would take the Peloton, and you wouldn't use it. Like, some of you would take the great gift, this expensive, extravagant gift, and you'd take it home, and you'd set it up, and oh, you'd mean to use it, right? But you'd be too busy. And so you'd have this great gift, and you wouldn't be angry about it. In fact, you would say, like, this is fantastic. This is the most generous thing a church has ever gave me, but you would not take advantage of it. But somebody, just imagine if one person... What if one person got that? What if one person received that really extravagant, just over-the-top gift, and it changed their life? That's possible, right? I know we're just talking about an exercise bike, but what if someone, like, they had medical conditions and they had always struggled, like, with being, you know, getting enough cardio, and because of this bike, because of the instructors, and I hear the instructors are amazing, and they can't see you as you're on your bike, but they know you're out there, and there's leaderboards on there, so you get to race with others, you get to compete, and you get to sort of spur each other on. And it's funny, they say it's a community, and they say that people actually have become friends that live in different states because they ride together every morning or every night, or they're in the same class. And so because of the community and because of the exercise, like, it changed your life, like one person. That would be a pretty amazing gift, right? Even if it was just one person. I want to show you something. Now, this is kind of like the Cybertruck. It's just a prototype, but I couldn't get you a Peloton bike, but I did create this. This is the action. This is the Action Church Smart Bike. It can do some things that Peloton cannot. It's VHS powered. So right now, all I have is the Land Before Time because that's what I could find. But imagine I could make you a tape and I could yell at you like, pedal faster, lard butt. Like I could inspire some. Look at this. See this? Okay, that's a terrible gift. I'm sorry. But imagine like this was a great gift. It's kind of nice seeing Land Before Time. I might just watch that after. But imagine that we had to budget, and we don't, because thanks to you, we gave our gifts away this year. I felt like that was sort of the thing that we would do, just like on Ice Cream Sunday, we gave away our picnic and went out and blessed the neighborhood. I thought, you know what? It wasn't just 180 gifts, as Josiah said. It was, some of them were lists. Some of them were lists for the Bridge of Hope, especially, like that's what they were going to get. And you might go, did we make the goal? Well, we did, because at the end, we went shopping with the church credit card, and thanks to you, we'll be able to pay it. And every person and every gift was actually covered. So there are families all over all over York County because of you that will have Christmas. So here's what I want you to think about. And this is a terrible analogy, and I know, and I want the band to come back up here, but I just wanted you to think about this. Like, it's so easy to go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I hear this every year. I grew up hearing about Jesus, and I'm sure, yeah, great gift, Savior. And yeah, I know my friends don't think Jesus is a great gift. In fact, my friends are sort of angry that I celebrate Christmas. Yeah, I get that. But here's the thing. Just because everyone doesn't agree doesn't mean that it's not a great gift. And just because you get a great gift, like had this been a real Peloton bike and not something way better, I'm just saying, like, that's way better. I got this, I went Craigslisting. I've got stories to tell about that, but I feel like the bike costs $30. This is my TV, I'm taking it back. But I think I could probably, this is just a prototype, but I could probably market these somewhere in the $1,800 range if you're interested. But anyway, like imagine you got a great gift, like a Peloton bike. If you didn't use it, it wouldn't work. Guess what? Peloton does amazing things. They have like this whole staff that's there to encourage you, but they don't pedal the bike for you. And if they did, it wouldn't work. You wouldn't lose a bit of weight. You wouldn't get a bit of cardiovascular exercise. And that's sort of the same thing with Jesus, guys. Like, it's the greatest gift. I will tell you this morning, the gift of Jesus is the greatest thing that can happen to you. Even though some people are super offended by him and some people are willing to take people's lives who believe in him, it's still the greatest thing that ever happened to this planet. But even if you have the opportunity to have that great gift, you're going to have to take advantage of it. You're going to have to jump on and pedal like crazy, if you will. There's something that you have to do as well. You have to be part of it. And here's the thing that I can offer you this morning. I will tell you, if you will take advantage of that great gift of a Savior, it will change your life. You're going to have to pedal like crazy, but it'll change your life. And look around you. This church, these people, they're here. In the same way they found that the reason why Peloton users do better than anybody else who has exercise bikes, it's because they have community. And even though they're not together all the time, like they're competing and spurring each other on, just like scripture says about other Christians, it's a community that sort of encourages each other, go on, work harder, move forward, don't give up. And I know, it's a terrible, terrible, like the analogy is even worse than the bike I made, but I just want you to keep that in your mind, that salvation is free. Salvation is so free. But putting it into your practice is going to cost you everything. Let's pray. Dear God, we are so, so grateful for the gift of Jesus. God, we are grateful for the ultimate gift. And God, we pray for those who have accepted that gift this morning. God, I pray that you would just give them the strength to not give up, to pedal like crazy. God, I pray for those who have maybe received the gift and haven't, quite frankly, done a lot with it. God, I pray that they would be spurred on today to take steps to make next year a different type of year, thanks to you, and to follow your leading of your Spirit. And God, we pray also for those who are hostile toward this gift of Jesus. And God, we believe what the angel said, that it was good news for all people. And God, I pray that they would change their minds. In your name we pray. Amen.